Good morning, this is Pastor Stoltz, and welcome to our Sunday worship, and welcome into another new year. The readings that I will be reading shortly are as follows. Matthew 2, 13 to 23. First Peter 4, 12 to 19, Isaiah 42, 1 through 9, and may Almighty God grant that we gladly hear thy word, and that all of our worship will be acceptable unto thee. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by the Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee and thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. To them that believe on his name he gives power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks unto thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you, and let us pray. O God, so rule and govern our hearts and our minds by thy Holy Spirit, that being ever mindful of the end of all things and the days of thy just judgment may be stirred among the holy and living and dwell there forever. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. we confess our faith according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. A reading from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 9. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath to the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thy hand. I will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out of the prisons from the prison, prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, the new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So far. A reading from 1 Peter, chapter 4. Verses 12 to 19. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing was happening unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that, when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of the glory of God is resting upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief, an evildoer, a busybody in other men's affairs. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in doing well, as unto a faithful Creator. So far. A reading from St. Matthew chapter 2, 13 to 23. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, Take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And there were until Herod's death, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the prophet of the Lord, saying, Out of Egypt I have called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. And he sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. And then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard lamenting, the weeping, great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and they would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he rose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in the city of Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. So far. From tragedy to triumph. This is the way a story usually goes, even in the church. We go through Lent because we see the glory of Easter in the distance. But the reverse is what we face this morning. Behind us are the weeks of preparation and the celebration of a Merry Christmas. And this morning we hear of the dangers, the warnings, the threats to the life of the newborn king, a forced flight into a foreign country, the senseless murder of innocent children, and a small town picked for the growing years of Jesus, who was to be the King of the Jews and the Lord of Lords. And what has this rather gruesome text to offer us as we face the beginning of a new year filled with uncertainties? Does it have a positive message for God's people? Well, yes, it does. And the message is this, whether you like it or not, God's will be done. You see, God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there is no one like him or in his place, as he tells us, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. He who created all things still upholds the whole world in his hands. Science may discover some of God's secrets in the universe, but they can't replace him. God is still God, still eternal, unchangeable, all-powerful. And because he is God, his will be done. He is a potter, and we are the clay. And thank God we are in the hands of God, and that his will prevail in the future as in the past. For God's will is a good and gracious will. It was his will that man should live on a beautiful and bountiful earth and be the first among all creatures. Therefore, he created the heaven and the earth. He willed it, and it was so. God willed that man should live in perfect harmony, in a perfect loving relationship with him. But man rebelled. Sin was born, and death stalked the earth. Yet God wanted only the best for man. He therefore willed that man should be redeemed, and that a new paradise be established for those who would believe his good and gracious will. He would become man himself, that it might be so. He willed that one nation should be chosen to provide the ancestors for the person in whom the Word would become flesh, through whom the way, the truth, and the life would be revealed, and upon whom the sins of all mankind would be laid. And it was so. Israel was established, and the remnant kept together until God became man in the fullness of time in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. It was God's will that his son be born in Bethlehem, and it was so. History was so ordered and used by Caesar Augustus, even though ignorant of the true God, he carried out God's will. It was God's will that Simon should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And it came to pass. It was God's will that this holy child not be killed before his mission be accomplished. Therefore the wise men were sent home by another way. God willed it, and so it happened. It was not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. But there are many who do not see it God's way. Instead of turning from their sinful, self-centered way that leads to death, they turn against him who offers them eternal life. Such a one was King Herod of Judea. This man wanted no part of God's will. He wanted no king near Jerusalem. And when he learned that the wise men had gone home by another way instead of first returning to Jerusalem to tell him where the newborn king of the Jews could be found, he gave orders that all the boys in Bethlehem, aged 2 and under, be put to death. And it was so. The bloody deed was done. Herod's will had prevailed. At least, so it seemed for a while. But the madness and the power of man cannot stop the will of God. God's will be done. Yet it will be done in ways that human reason cannot understand. No human wisdom can fathom, nor human emotion bear. Who can read or hear this story without wondering, why did all those little children in Bethlehem have to die? Why did the Holy Family have to be persecuted, flee into a foreign country? Couldn't God have carried out his will some other way? Well, no doubt he could have, but he chose not to. And we can go on asking similar questions. Why did Christ have to suffer and die as he did? Why did God permit Stephen to be stoned to death, Paul beheaded, the martyrs be burned at the stake? Why does God allow wars? Why? And we can go on with so many whys. And there is no answer that will satisfy our reason or our feelings. And though we cannot foresee or predict the will of God before it becomes an event, we can and should accept and trust in God's will. God intends only to bless those who are his by faith in Christ. God's will is always good for his children, no matter what. Those who oppose his will, fight it, seek to nullify it, will in the end find that God's will always wins out. It will be done in the future as it has been done in the past. God is still God. Those who are God's will be blessed. No force can withstand it. In his own mysterious way, God will bring it to pass. So we pray, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But it will be done also, even without our prayer. God, help us to accept your will and be blessed through it and by it. Amen. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, and to thy church, thy Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that thy word, as becometh it, may not be bound, but have free course, and be preached to the joy and edification of Christ's holy people. That in steadfast faith we may serve thee, and in the confession of thy holy name abide unto the very end. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.